Good morning, everybody. Never a dull moment, is there? I thought I would invite President Trump today so that we would cause division in the church, because half of the world loves him and the other half hates him. But anyway, this is AI. It's a little video. But the thing is, the message behind it, and there's, you can see the message is exactly what we're going to cover in the sermon. And I said, wow, because Cielo Petralia sent it to me. And I said, she said, is this AI? I said, no question, this is AI. AI is means absolutely impossible. Just for the fun of it, we'll watch this to begin with. It's 11 minutes, so if you need a nap, that's okay. But then after that, we'll dive into the sermon. The message is what I wanted everybody to hear, because the message was so spot on. And AI, we just have to live with it. And it may not be what it's pretending to be, but that's the nature of human nature. Human nature is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? So we should be very familiar with that. So let's begin with prayer. Father, we just thank you very much for this time now to open your word and to listen to what you have to say, because you're going to be telling us these very, very same points that are so important for us to realize you're right here and you'll never leave us or forsake us, that you're our best friend. You are our life, our way, our truth. And God, we just love you so very much. And we just thank you that you've given us instructions through your son that change everything. Jesus told us when he walked this earth that we should love our enemies instead of hating them and despising them and bad mouthing them and everything else. But to love them and to do good to those that hate you. And so, God, we just thank you, because that's what you do. You're always doing good. You're supplying food and clothing and everything else for us, and even for individuals that are out to try to destroy your reputation. And so, God, we just thank you that we're here to become more like you. And we just ask you to live in us and to teach us and to guide us and to change us, so that we can become just like you and get ready for that magnificent resurrection when we become a part of your very son's body, and he is our head and we will be his body. What a gift and what an honor that is beyond comprehension. And so thank you very much for this time together, and we commit this time to you in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And our scripture is in 2 Timothy. Well, Paul is constantly giving instructions, and it's all about the gospel. The gospel is a person, by the way. The gospel is the good news, and he, Jesus Christ, is that good news, because his death and resurrection changes everything, and we need to make sure that we do three things that we're going to see here in this very important scripture that Paul is advising to Timothy, preparing him and training him to become a pastor. So one thing, I'd like to tell a little story before we begin, because we already heard the message in that video. Back in the days of Jesus, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have text messaging. They didn't have recordings and stuff like that. They had, does anybody know what they called them? What were they that?
Scrolls.
Oh, scrolls. Yeah, they had scrolls. That's right. But what did the king have in order, if the king wanted to send a message to somebody in another country, what did the king have? And he sent that person. He's called a messenger or courier. And that's what I'd like to just speak about, because the courier had a very big responsibility. He had to do three things. One is he had to know exactly word for word what the king wanted sent to this other individual, whoever it may be. He had to memorize it, make sure that it was word for word, or otherwise he was up the creek and he would have no paddle. He would probably be fixed permanently. But the second thing, he had to be able to quote that to that other person, not just memorize it, but quote it exactly the way the king had it. Just like if you have a recording on your iPhone or your cell phone or whatever, it's exactly the what was there. No question about it, because it's recording every last minute detail of what you recorded. Well, he had to do that, and then he had to make sure it was sent exactly that way and delivered to that person exactly the way that he memorized it, for the way the king had brought it out to him. And then the third thing is when he got to the destination, the people around that other king or whoever he's talking to, they're going to be saying, nah, that's not really what he said. This is what he really meant, this and that. The courier had the responsibility to defend every single word that was sent by the king through the courier. And so that's really important. And those are the three things that Timothy's telling us to do here, very interestingly enough, because we're couriers or we're sent to go and make disciples of all nations and to preach the gospel and to share the good news and to be able to defend the truth, just like the couriers were required to do in exact detail. And it's very important for us to make sure that we are following the instructions that we're going to read here. So let's take a look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, because all Scripture is God-breathed. In other words, this is a message from the King. There's no question about it. The King of Kings. The words in the Bible are God-breathed, spoken by the King of Kings, and is useful for all these different things, for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this is the first thing that we need to make sure we understand, and that is to know the message. And there's only one way you can know the message, and that is to read the book. And like was being said in the video, it's so easy to just leave your Bible on the shelf or just never read it because we're so busy. And people don't know what busyness is. Does anybody know what busy is? B-U-S-Y. What does that represent? That's right. Being under Satan's yoke. If you're just so busy, you don't have time for God, you're under Satan's yoke, because Satan wants to keep you so busy, you don't have time to read the Bible, to find out what God wants you to do, so that you can know the message. Because we think we know the message, but then if you don't memorize it or get it programmed into your mind accurately by looking at it and doubling it and tripling it and going over it again and again and again, you're going to be like every other human being. You're going to forget and think you know it. And so it's really important to know the message, because even in the very beginning of Timothy, notice what he says back in chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. My sister was Eunice, but my mother was Eleanor. And I'm persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. In other words, make sure that you're using this to the fullness of its capacity, and don't underestimate what you've been given. Now, most of us probably grew up as Christians, and our parents were hopefully modeling that. And like Paul said, Timothy, you know, this is what you've learned and so on, but you've got to fan it into flame. You've got to build that up and to make sure that this becomes your rock solid foundation. And you can't do that when you don't know the message, because you just think you know everything. He that thinks he knows something, what does the Bible say? He knows nothing like he needs to know it. That's straight out of the Scriptures. And so it's very important to remember, number one, that we need to be reading our Bibles all the time. And last time I gave the sermon, I passed out pencils, colored pencils, to make sure we can mark our Bibles and to keep these things first and foremost, and to review those Scriptures and have them at the top of our memory list, you know, so that when we go through our Bibles that you can read two or three books in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes when you have it underlined and spelled out, so that you know what the message is that God wants us to carry out. So that's very, very important for us to understand. The second thing, now let's take second beginning chapter 4. Does anybody have maybe an example or a story about how all of a sudden, everything came alive to you, kind of like what was mentioned in here, that at 3 a.m. in the morning, all of a sudden, things came alive, things that you'd read thousands of times before, but all of a sudden, bang, you say, wow, this is important. And I know for me, when I was 12 years old, that's when it hit me. I just really, really, really wanted to be baptized, but the church wouldn't allow us to be baptized till we were 18, so I had 6 years to wait before I could be baptized. But that was just part of the legalism and stuff like that. But the church had to go through all that programming just like we have to, and like the whole Bible, legalistic in the Old Testament, and then grace came, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, so that we really understand the heart of the matter. Because Jesus couldn't live inside of us until the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given and everybody could have the embeddedness of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and everybody living inside of us to transform us. And that's where the church began. The church began because that's what makes the church. The church is not a building. It's not a bunch of people. There's a lot of people, but what really makes the church is Jesus living in them, because that you've got the head of the church, Jesus, and we're the body, and we're together, working together. And that's really important to understand. But for me, that was a major wake-up call for me. And I just remember from age 12 on, I desired, and I wanted more than anything else, to be a pastor. That was my passion and desire. And so on. And then I was told all through grade school and high school, that's never going to happen for you. That's just not your gift. And so on. So God, thankfully God was listening to those thoughts. But does anybody have, what really transformed your life? What turned your life around? Anything particular that you might want to share? Okay. But feel free to raise your hand and we'll let you share your story. But let's take a look, all right, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, and that is preach the word, because the second thing at first is knowing the message, and then proclaiming the message. He says, preach the word, and there's a time and a place for that. You don't go out on the street corner necessarily and, you know, knock on doors and try to force things on people and so on. But when God gives you the opportunity, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, because there's a time and a place for everything. And there's a time not to open your mouth. Remember when Jesus was being confronted with Herod, and Herod said, you know, I want to see a miracle. And Jesus, what? Zipped the lip. It's a time to zip the lip, you know. And that, how do you know when to do that? That comes from knowing the message. Knowing the message. Jesus is the message. And when you know the Word of God, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when you're reading the Bible, you're reading what Jesus thinks and what he wants us to know. And so that's really important to know that message. If you want to know whether to respond to somebody or what to do, you have Jesus in you. Talk to him and just say, what do you want me to do? Remember our prayer that Jesus spelled out for us in detail. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, your will be done. And it's really important to make sure that we're praying without ceasing and saying, God, I want to fulfill your will in how I respond now. And God will give you the words. And if he doesn't give you the words, zip the lip. There you go. But he'll put the thoughts in your mind that you need to have when you ask him, because he says he will be there and he'll never leave us or forsake us. And when you ask him, he says, ask and you shall receive, when you're asking in accordance with his will. Does that make sense? And so a lot of times people say, well, God doesn't talk to me like that. Well, maybe you need a little more practice. Who knows? But just say, God, I want to have this relationship with you so that I know exactly what you want me to do. So preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. So make sure that you know when you're out of season or when you're in season. The right season is the right time to do whatever you need to do, and so on. Then correct, Because there's a time to do that, especially as a parent, and you've got children that you're raising. You need to make sure you know how to correct them so that they go in the right direction. If you're going to train a dog, you train up a dog in the way the dog should go, and when the dog is old, he won't depart from it. It says train up a child the same way. A dog isn't going to do what you train him to do if you don't train him. And a child isn't going to do what you train him to do unless you train them, and so on. And that's why the Bible is there, to be reading the Bible. And I passed out those little books about the story of Jesus. And if you want more, I've got another 100,000 at home. But they're priceless to give to people. But anyway, correct, rebuke, and encourage. Why would you want to rebuke? Well, if somebody is preaching false teaching that is totally contrary to Scripture and so forth, and they claim to be a part of the body of Christ in church, and you don't say that is not an option. You know, one of the things when people say, well, you're going to burn forever in hell, it makes Hitler look like a saint to say that God is going to torture people for eternity in a lake of fire. That is garbage. But people believe that. We need to know the truth. And they will take various things like the parables that Jesus gave that are taken out of context to try to prove their point. And stuff like that. You need to make sure you understand those parables so that you can explain them properly and so on. Otherwise, people can end up twisting Scripture and making religion look evil when they don't really understand what's being said. So rebuke and encourage. Encouragement is so important, because do you know anybody who doesn't need encouragement? I think if you look inside your heart, you know you need it. We all need it. We all need that encouragement. And that's why we are gathered together in the church, so that we can receive encouragement from God and from each other. God commands us to love God with all of our heart and our neighbor of ourselves, and especially brothers and sisters, to love and to encourage, because that is what really gives hope and comfort and so forth, like was in that video and so on. Once you understand this, all of a sudden God gives this peace, and you don't have all this anxiety and fears and worries and stuff, because you can give it to God. And you know the Scripture where Jesus quotes it. He says himself, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," that's the yoke of the Holy Spirit, "and learn of me, for my yoke is easy." Why is being a Christian easy? It's the easiest thing on the face of the earth if you don't have to do it. Jesus does it through you. And that's the beautiful thing. When you ask him to do it, he can do it through you. And all of a sudden, that weight is lightened. Your yoke becomes easy for you. What a gift. What a blessing. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Because God wants to be there with you and to give you the support and the courage and everything, and with great patience and careful instruction. Because patience is something that we learn over time, because we've put into practice the Word of God, and you know it works. And if you don't get an answer immediately to prayer, you have no doubt that God is still answering that prayer. You just don't know when or how, because God always answers every prayer we pray. It's either yes, no, or wait a while. Those are the three answers he gives all the time. Yes, no, or wait a while. And if it's no, it may be no because it's not going to be good for you. And it may be yes, but it may be 25 years later, like Abraham had to wait for a kid. So with great patience and careful instruction, straight out of the Word of God, not out of somebody else's word. "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine." Are we finding that today? You better believe it. I mean, it is so common now to it's okay to be a girl when you're a guy. And all sorts of crazy stuff that is being promoted on the internet. Maybe the net is to try to catch you with some of those things. But they will not put up with sound doctrine, and churches are being divided and split up because one wants to believe something that they really believe rather than what the Bible actually says, because who's going to bother reading it? They just say, well, this makes sense to me, and I'm not going to that church. And I know people that don't even go to church, they're just waiting to find out which branch of the church to join. So it's so sad. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, rather than reading the scriptures for what it says, like it or lump it. But that's the thing we need to be careful about, because does anybody know of anything that comes up that causes division in churches? Anything else that just... Oh, money, there you go. Money is a big issue. And if you can preach what people want to hear, you're going to get a lot more money. I like that church because this is what I believe. I believe it's all about if you really do the right thing, God's going to make you rich. And that instead of becoming rich, they become wretched instead of rigid or rigid, one of the two. But anyway, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. That's ideas that are not based on scripture. They're fake. They're not true. It's a myth, but it's very well known. But you keep your head in all situations. And I look at that as not just my head. I want the head being Jesus. He's my head. And when you have Jesus as your head, you're going to be ahead of the game, 10-1 or 1,000,000-1. But keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. And there's a lot of people going through hardship like you can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what my daughter's going through. Just going through that, I just think about it and it just breaks my heart. But I know God is working. And he's working in everybody's overwhelming, tragic situations. Guaranteed. Because he can deliver. All he has to do is speak the word and bang, it's gone. He can totally restore anything. He can resurrect. He can do anything. God can do anything, but he's not. And there's a reason for whatever it is. And when the kingdom comes and we talk to Jesus, he's going to say, oh, well, this is why. Oh, I had no idea. So keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Now, that doesn't mean you can't look for solutions that can be helpful, that are based on what Jesus Christ would do, because there's all sorts of herbs and things that God has designed that you can do your own research about that are going to be healthy with no side effects one bit whatsoever in any way, manner, shape, or form. But anyway, when we come to find that out in the kingdom, we'll say, oh, man, I wish I had looked into those things instead of the things that I was being crammed down my throat. Endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist. In other words, they were very busy. That's the top of the rung of the ladder when it comes to authority and so on, but they're overseeing lots of pastors and elders and everything else, evangelists and so on. Do the work of an evangelist. In other words, everything that you oversee, make sure you are being fair with everybody else. You may be an evangelist at work, because you're overseeing lots of different people and so forth. And make sure that you are caring for them and loving them and listening to them and respecting them and so on. Because you may be a physical evangelist in your overseeing responsibilities. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. And a lot of times people say, well, this is only talking to pastors. No, it's not. This is talking to Timothy. But Jesus tells us through the Apostle Paul in Hebrews that you are a chosen priesthood, a chosen generation. So when you are a priesthood, you are given the responsibility of facilitating the work of God. And what an honor, what a privilege, what a blessing to discharge all the duties of your ministry. You have a ministry. And if you're not sure exactly what that ministry is, talk to the boss. Because he's the one that owns you. Your body belongs to God. Your mind belongs to God. He made it. And God says he wants us to die to ourselves and be alive to Christ. So let him be the one that guides your ministry. And if you say, well, I don't know what my ministry is, he'll tell you. Because he's given each of us gifts. To some, he's given 1, 2, 5, 10, as one of those parables brings out. But whatever your gift is, use that gift for God's glory. And then you will be discharging all the duties of your ministry. And then finally, the last thing we need to be able to do is to defend the work that God has called us to do. For I am already poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So it's really important for us to have that message clearly in mind so that we're able to share it with others. And one thing I pray about all the time, I said, please, God, bring people in my path that you're already working with, that you know are teachable, that are humble, that are willing to listen. Because I, you know, there's certain individuals that are no more interested in the Word of God than a donut. They just have no interest whatsoever. You can still be kind to them, but make it a priority to hang out with those that God is working with, and you see they are teachable and they're humble and they want to learn and they have an attitude of appreciation for what God is doing in their lives and so on. That is the kind of person that God wants to work with. To this man will I look, to him that is humble and contrite and trembles at my word, Isaiah 66:2. So those are the things that we need to be aware of, and don't be afraid to defend that message that Jesus Christ is given to us, like it says there in verse 3 and 4, that some will not put up with sound doctrine and so forth. When that comes up, we have to be willing to defend it and just say, why don't we just read that scripture that you're quoting to me and read before and read after and see what it says. And that way you let God take care of the argument for you, because scriptures usually are clearly identifiable what the answer is if you read the context and what is being discussed rather than taking a scripture out of context. And so that's very helpful to know. So anyway, let's just embrace the things that Jesus Christ has given us, and that is to know the message, to spend time in the Word. Every opportunity you can, let God's Word come alive to you. And when you're marking it, mark those key areas like the one that we just read here about in chapter 3. All Scripture, verse 16, is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That needs to be marked, because that is a very key scripture to understand. Then also, time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. That whole section there in 2 Timothy 4 is just jam-packed with personal instruction about how to proclaim the message and how to defend the message. And so let's just thank God and ask him to continue to do the work in us that he wants to do. Father, we just thank you so very much. Your word is a gold mine. And Father, we just want to keep digging, because there's so much more gold the deeper we dig. And we just ask you to use us to proclaim the good news about your son, Jesus Christ, and how he lives for us, that he died for us so that he paid the penalty for all of our sins, the sins of all mankind. And that he was resurrected. And he says, I am going to prepare a place for you. After he was resurrected, he's preparing a place for us for eternity in your kingdom. And so God, thank you for your word, and help us to proclaim this to people who are teachable and humble so that they can be able to enjoy the priceless words that you've given to us in the scriptures. And all the glory goes to you, Father, in the precious name of your son, we pray. Jesus Christ. Amen.